It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
Welcome in to Take Command Podcast. Craig Hoffman, Logan Paulson, and Logan, we got a 42-14 win to review. Looks just as good on tape as it does on television. So what happens if you look at the scoreboard part of it, Logan. The scoreboard's the same on TV and on the tape. We will get to the offense and Jaden Daniels in just a little bit. But, Logan, we thought we'd mix it up today and start with the defense because, oh, my God, they had a good game. And this was a defense that was not very good, obviously, through the first three games. A lot of issues, but they continue to work at it. We told folks on last week's tape review that, hey, there were some signs against Cincinnati, and then Cincinnati just absolutely bludgeoned their mistakes, and that's how the scoreboard winds up the way it looks. What did you see from the continued growth, and ultimately, how are they able to keep the Cardinals to 14 points, especially 7 after the opening drive? Because that opening drive, you're like, oh, boy, here we go again. Yeah. And then we didn't go again.
Yeah, I mean, I just think you see a group that's a little bit more locked in is the wrong word. They've always been locked in. It's just on the same page. I think they're communicating better. They're playing more physically. I think they're buying in. There's nothing when you look at the tape that's like drastically different. Guys are just doing it better than they were the week before. And I think, you know, Dan and Joe Wood Jr., you know, they said, oh, they're closer than they think. And I think it's because the defense works. It's just about guys like knowing what to do and then playing hard. I think that's the other thing that really stood out to me, especially with like the defensive line. Those dudes played very hard in this game. And it was, you know, I think over the last couple of weeks, you're like, oh, you know, John, Duran, Jerzon, like everybody, you're kind of like, oh, where are they? What's going on? But I just felt like there was an urgency from that group. And I think it allowed like Bobby Wagner and Frankie Louvu to play more urgent. And those guys have been playing well the last couple of weeks. But then you see Jeremy Chinn. I feel like he's been getting better each and every week. And I feel like this was probably his best game as a Commander. And you see all the things he can do from a physicality standpoint. Like as a run player, he does a great job in coverage. And then Quan felt his energy quite a bit watching film, you know, just like the way he gets up after a tackle, like the urgency, again, that he's entering tackles with. There's no fear. There's no kind of flinch to him. And I think, like, again, when you look at the three levels of the defense, and obviously there's some stuff outside with the corners where you're like, could this be better? Sure. But I do think that they're playing the techniques better. And I think it's kind of idiot-proofing their position a little bit, right? It's like, hey, if I'm supposed to be outside leverage, be outside leverage. If I'm supposed to be inside leverage, be inside leverage. And that clears up a lot. And so, you know, when there's a guy running open on a dig, it's like, that's not my guy. That's the safeties guy. And seeing that kind of continuity throughout the defense is super important. And so I think all of those things were great. And I also think, like, the Arizona offense without Trey McBride especially is not, like, Kyler Murray, you know, Bram, you know, on the broadcast, you know, said, oh, you know, Kyler Murray's a slot machine. And I think there's some truth to that. Like, you can hit the lottery, you can hit a big number, or you can just keep pulling that lever. And I felt like in this game, you got a game where, and these happened with him, where you just kept pulling the lever and nothing positive came up. And so I think it was kind of a combination of things, but I definitely think that defense played better as a whole.
Yeah, the effort shows up in a major way, especially like John. I mean, he's got 5 tackles on the game, which might be more than he had in the first 3 games combined. He is not only making tackles at and behind the line of scrimmage, but there's a couple plays. And I flagged some of these last week with Jerzon, right? Mm-hmm. Johnny's making plays 9-10 yards down the field as a defensive tackle. And you're like, what the hell are you doing down there? That's awesome. Like, great hustle. Good job. That's the energy you need. That's why they drafted that guy. And for John, like, you weren't seeing that kind of, you know, tenacity, to use one of the words that I think that they would probably like to describe their defense. And John, this week, he's making plays. There's one where he's on the backside of a run. It gets out the front side and he chases that thing down 9 yards down the field. There's a couple others where he's 11, 12, 14 yards down the field making tackles because he chases down a quick pass or chases down a run. And so that tenacity from John Allen, and you saw it from Duran as well, like, you're starting to see it come together, not just 3 guys like it was maybe week 1, 5 guys week 2, 7 week 3. Now you got all 11 by week 4 playing like that basically every snap. And the defense comes alive. Like, it starts with that, right? That's not everything. You need to have clean execution. You need to have good communication. You need to have good cohesion. Guys are starting to play off of each other a little better. Some of the stunts and picks and things they run up front are starting to hit a little bit more because guys understand exactly how to play off each other. And that was going to take time. But none of that stuff works if you're not trying hard enough. And again, it's not like guys weren't trying, but there's that next level of, I'll use the word again, tenacity that wasn't there from everybody. And I think you really saw that this week. And you can see it also by looking at the stat sheet, because some of those guys that had lacked in production all of a sudden have some numbers next to their names.
Yeah, I mean, I really agree. I think you really felt John, like you really felt him. Like when you're watching film, like the pursuit you mentioned, like 100%. I think that that's important to shout that out. And, you know, I talked to him in the post game interviews and you could just tell he was like, yeah, man, like I needed to be better. And it was great. I don't know. It was just great for him to get that kind of performance, and him being like a leader on the team and playing the way he did was awesome. But, you know, defense is funny, man. Like when you watch a good defense, like, you know, I was watching Baltimore a couple days ago. I'm starting to get ready for Cleveland, so I'm watching a little bit of the Giant or the you know, like the Cleveland's opponents. And when you watch a good defense, like they sometimes it is an effort thing. It's just like a physicality and running to the football. And there are times where you're like, man, watching other defenses where you're like, oh, this should be an explosive play. This should be an explosive run. This should be an explosive pass. But this guy has tremendous effort, and then four other guys have tremendous effort to the football. And defense much more than offense, like effort covers up a lot of issues. And I think you see that with some of the run stuff. Like there was a run, I think it was after the interception. Jerzon Newton like forklifts the center back in the backfield. John swims the B gap. Bobby Wagner's sprinting downhill to stop the run. Percy Butler is kind of the cover three box player. And he comes and like the attitude, the energy, the effort of everybody. It was a bunch of guys who wanted to beat the man in front of them. And sometimes it's just that simple. Like they're playing with good technique. They're playing with good effort. They're doing what they're supposed to do in the defense, but they were just going for it. And I think that's something that felt very different. And I think it was a little bit, you know, kind of comes after they get that first stop. They start getting a little confident. They see what the offense is doing. And again, like Kyler gave them opportunities to do that. And, you know, we've talked about John. We've talked about, you know, the linebackers, the safeties. Also, Dorrance. It was great to see him kind of show up and get some pressures. He really had Kelvin Beachum's number in terms of understanding how to beat him consistently. And I thought he also really understood that, like, Kyler's going to take a deep drop so I can be more aggressive with some of my angles in terms of the height of the angle to attack the edge and the perimeter to get him to step up. And really kudos to everybody. I think Noah Igbinoghene also had a really good game, couple of PBUs. Obviously gives up the touchdown, but I don't fault him for that because he's supposed to play inside leverage. You're supposed to take away the slant. Like the route that ends up being given up there is what you want. It was what you want to give
it's
up.
A great it's throw, a great throw. Catch.
Yeah. And so I just look at that and I say to myself, like, it was great to see, but I do think they were helped out a little bit by some of Arizona's, like, for example, like this is Joe Burrow is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's going to dice you up on some of these opportunities that Kyler Murray let you get away with. And that's the nature of why you're looking for a top five quarterback, right? But when you play a guy who's not as good and you play hard, you play physical and you run to the football and you get a turnover, like you can have a good performance like this.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, I think BSJ deserves a ton of credit. He shadows Marvin Harrison, which I did not think they would do with him. You know, just that's something that Benjamin, you're like, is he a number one corner who travels? No, that's not him. Like, they'll just line up their guys and let him play. Nope. They traveled BSJ pretty much after that first series with Marvin Harrison. And of course, Marvin got a couple, but that's what happens with great receivers. 4 for 40, whatever it was. Like, you told me on Saturday, hey, tomorrow they're going to hold Marvin Harrison to 4 for 40 something, I'd be like, sick. Let's sign up for that right now. You know, I thought Forbes looked a little rusty in terms of like some of the execution, but I thought he played hard and was in the right spots. So like, you know, he's got a run fit early that he just chops the O-lineman and sets the edge. And you're like, that'll do. That gets the job done. He misses a tackle or two later in the game. But like, I kind of look at that as like the same way that guys miss tackles in week one. And we go, it's week one. He hasn't tackled in a while. Plus he's got a banged up thumb. Like, okay. I also think like that comeback that gets completed on him, he plays that thing pretty well. He swipes at the ball and misses, but I'm like, in 2 weeks, does he pick that? Like when his timing is back. So I think there's encouraging signs all over the place. And I also thought it was interesting talking about the DBs, like how they rotated them, right? Obviously they started with the same group they did last week, but then eventually they rotate Forbes in there. Saner still is playing some in the nickel. Noah's playing some in the nickel. And I wonder if that's in part because Noah's playing great. And two, like that physicality and size that he brings where Mikey's still, you know, figuring out how to play there at his size, especially against the run. So I thought overall, like, yeah, you that secondary, you know, again, it starts with playing hard, and they do that. And if they can continue to shore up the execution. And the last thing I'll say too on the secondary is the communication was so much better and maintained so much better. Great example of this is on the fourth down in the first half, where, you know, Sainer still is talking constantly as they get lined up, making sure everyone's on the same page. Receiver goes in motion. He follows. He talks to, I think it's Emmanuel, and is like, hey, this is what we got here. And sure enough, like, switch release from the Cardinals, and Washington looks, I think they're in a man coverage there, and they switch it, and it's perfect. And Kyler's got nowhere to throw, and they ultimately sack him on a fourth and one. Yeah. And like that clean communication to make sure that on a, you know, tight splits, wasn't a full like three receiver bunch, but two receivers close, switch release. How many times have we seen them get got? And by the way, that's just hard in general, especially on fourth and one, because you have to be so on top of it because they need literally 2 yards, and they were all over it and ultimately get a sack on a fourth and one play because of how well they communicate and pass things off.
Yeah, and I think that ended up being cover two, but I agree with you. Like, they motion to a bunch, they get that communicated, they're on different levels, like they motion to a 2x2 stack, they communicate again, and then even like, you know, down in and down out, just the ability to them kind of like just call each other attention and, hey, we got this, and you're definitely seeing more of that on a consistent basis there. So I think it's awesome. And, you know, I think it's great. It's great that they're playing hard. It's great that they're playing better in the defense. I think it also shows you, quite frankly, the difference between, like, you know, a top three quarterback and Kyler Murray and a top three wide receiver in Ja'Marr Chase and Marvin Harrison Jr. And I think, like, coming into the game, it's something we talked about. Like, I actually didn't feel terrible if, like, BSJ had to match up with him, because he's not Mike Evans. He might get there at some point, but he's not there right now. And he's not running with kind of this NFL urgency to all of his routes. And, like, BSJ, like, over the course of this season, has played extremely urgently, and he's going to kind of, I think that matchup favors Washington just because of the experience and the intensity with which he's playing with. So again, I think there's a lot to be excited about. And I think it just shows you, like, how, as this defense grows and how they're playing, maybe a team that isn't, you know, I think that's a fine offense there in Arizona. They're a little banged up or whatever, but they're going to be able to do some things. They're going to be able to create some pressure. They're going to be able to, and I think when you look back at the Tampa Bay game, for example, which was a little bit of a struggle bus, like, that offense and that team looks significantly different now going into week five because of all the stuff they've been able to do, all the conflict they're able to put in on the Philadelphia Eagles, for example. So I think this team is definitely ascending. Offensively, they're ascending. Defensively, they're ascending for sure. And I just think there's a lot of opportunity for them to still grow, especially against teams that aren't, you know, like, the cream of the crop offensively.
For sure. Last thing I do want to talk about, though, for the defense is the run defense still gave up pretty significant yardage per carry. Part of the reason they're able to get away with that is because the offense runs away with the game, you know, with the field goal before halftime, come out, get a touchdown, and all of a sudden you're up 24-7, and the offense just continues to score. So time score situation, game flow dictates that the Cardinals have to abandon the run a little bit. And I do think that is part of the overall plan, right? Like, the complementary football, that's a feature, not a something that they looked into. That said, when they get in some closer games and getting key stops, or God forbid they're down in a game and they need to stop the run and then get the ball back to Jaden in the offense to try to have a comeback, how do we feel about how they're progressing against the run? It certainly feels like it's a little better, but the statistics still are not very good.
I would say significantly better, you know, just from what we saw against Cincinnati, for example. And it speaks to kind of like the general improvement from the defense we were just talking about. Like, we were just talking about how the corners are playing with better leverage. Like, guys just get it more. Like, there was a run early in the game where, I forget the exact run, I think it was like a single back power, maybe a counter. James Conner's running around and it ends up being like a 5 yard gain. It was like second and one. But Jeremy Chinn is, you know, they're disguising their rotation. He ends up, you know, kind of rotating down late into the box. But the tackle that he makes there, where he makes it, when he makes it, it just shows that everyone's kind of getting, to me, everyone's getting more locked in. The way Frankie Louvu played on some runs, like, understanding what they do out of certain run formations, the physicality that he played with. I think it was early in the game too. They were trying to run like a power and he blows up the tight end and then blows up the guard and then blows up the fullback coming across and just makes a big pile and ends up being a tackle for 1 yard gain. Like everybody's just getting it a little bit more, you know. And are they ever going to be like the perfect run defense? I don't think they've got the personnel necessarily up front to do that. And like you said, I don't think they want to be in these kind of, you know, knuckle dragger, you know, punch 'em, sock 'em, rock 'em robot fights. But sometimes you got to be in there. I think they can do it. It's just about they can do it. I think they will do it when they have to. Are they going to be the best at it? Probably not. But I do think you're seeing a general improvement in those areas from guys that have to improve. So like Jeremy Chinn, when you're the eighth player and you're playing from the quarters look or you're playing from a too high look, like that's tough sledding. But as you get more comfortable about what you can get away with, like when you can make that rotation, how you can fit that run, and then the way the D-line is kind of spacing it out, the way that like Wagner and Louvo are playing in terms of fitting their gaps front side to ensure that you have a small gap to fill, I think that's stuff that you're going to see. You know, Percy Butler makes a tackle. I already mentioned that run. I think that kind of stuff is definitely improved. Now, I also think that run number is a little bit high because they're trying to run the clock out in the fourth quarter, and I don't know how engaged a lot of the team was at that moment. You know, it's kind of like, hey, we're up by, you know, 30 points. Let's get out of here.
Like, yeah. And so, you give up a couple runs late and you don't really care because you just don't want to give up a big pass play. So structurally, you're not set up to do it. And they definitely got a couple of chunks late in the game because of that. One last thing I'll note on Chinn as we wrap here. When that dude arrives, that is the end of the play. Which I mean, not just in like a complimentary of like, you know, superlative physicality, but like if it's third and seven, how often do we see 5-yard completion receiver or especially tight end, bigger bodies, does like half spin out of an arm tackle? It's a tackle, but he's able to reach out and get the first down, extend that extra yard or two. When Chinn arrives, that is the end of your forward progress. The angles he takes and the physicality that he hits with. There's a play early in the game that exactly is this, where it's, I think it's third and nine. They complete the ball for like 8 yards and you're like, oh crap, they're about to power through and get this extra yard. And Chinn flies out of his safety position, comes down, drills the tackle and knocks the guy backwards. And then it's fourth down and they have to punt. And
I think that ended up leading to the fourth and one. That led to the fourth and one, actually.
Yeah, no, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is the play. Yeah,
and it's him and it's him and Quan. And like, you know, as much as we're going to talk about Chinn here, like Quan plays with that same level of urgency, you know. And so on that play, they're in like this quarter structure, they check it down underneath, there's a little bit of space, and it's like there's a lot of grass here, like this is going to be a first down. And the way both those dudes are, like, it's awesome watching the end zone copy because they look like freaking hawks, or, you know, like big cats, like the way they rally and then they, it's like there's no flinch. There's no hesitation. That's one of the cooler plays I've seen from this defense. And it's, and again, it's a 9-yard gain, but it's not a first down and ends up leading to a fourth and one. And then they get the sack on fourth and one. And again, they just, there was no flinch, no hesitation, like pour it all out for this play. We're fighting for every inch of grass. And I think that I'm really glad you brought that play up, because to me, it encapsulates a lot of what was different about this defense today. You know, you mentioned John running down, tackling people. Like Frankie Louvu was an absolute maniac, but it's that level of intensity that gets you there. And even on, you mentioned the Forbes thing, like where Forbes cuts down the guard that's pulling out in front, that cut by him on that guard sets up a huge hit by Jeremy Chinn, who's taken a great angle, like you said. Yep. Like those things were on full display today, and they were just dialed in a way that was really awesome to see. And that's the stuff that gives me, you know, like we've been waiting for a little bit, but I trust Dan, I trust Joe Wood Jr., because they're going to get this out of this group. And think about it, this is the fourth game. Like, I think they're just going to continue to get better as more of the defense gets in, as they own it more. And because I do think you've got some guys, you know, those two safeties we just mentioned, the linebackers are playing really well, the defensive line's starting to pop a little bit. Like, it's all kind of happening. And, you know, like, are they a perfect group? No. But I think the things that you just pointed out there are really, really important for good defensive football play.
For sure. And hey, if the offense is going to play at an absurd level, like if this defense can merely be a top half defense, like if they can be the 14th best defense in the NFL this year, this is a playoff team. Yeah. Unless the offense takes huge regression.
Crazy to think about, right? Like, which is like, think about like where we were week one and think about where we are now. Like, and I don't know if they're going to get to 14, but even if they get to like top 20, I think they might be okay if this offense continues to play.
Well, especially if you look at the rest of the NFC East, the way it's playing right now.
So. No, I think 100%. So I think, again, I'm always a guy that's pouring cold water on stuff. I think they still have a lot of work to do. I think they still have a lot of growing to do. But to me, this is like one of those games where like, this is the right step. And when you take these right steps, I think it can lead to confidence. I think it can lead to, and then more consistent production, because you're like, this is the standard that we're playing with now. And like I said, like when you watch the Detroit Lions, for example, like I just watched them, because they were playing Arizona. Yeah. They're not like maybe the most talented group of all time, but they
gave up 500 yards last night.
Yeah, but they're,
But they smashed them. Well, they gave up 500 yards.
And yeah. I think like when you look at that, you're like, man, like that is a physical, tough group that no one wants to play. I think this group is starting to show signs of that. And I think that's something that is really, really exciting and encouraging. Because again, much like the offense, which is presented like we're going to talk about this in a second, like all of these physical guys, physical receivers, physical tight ends, physical alignment, physical back, you've brought in guys like Jeremy Chinn. You've encouraged guys like Kwon. You've got guys like Frankie Louvu at every layer of the defense that are starting to embody that, what it means to play like a commander type of feel.
Yeah, for sure. And the other part that Detroit does well that Washington is starting to key on as well is the ball. And Dan has talked about that a lot. Like the ball matters and you start getting some turnovers. That, you know, Louvu had the punch out. We kind of almost forget about it because the game was pretty much already out of hand. But like you get those, you get a, God forbid they get an interception one of these games soon, right? That starts to change the dynamic of these games as well.